Blog Talk Radio.
Jim Harbaugh is not too happy today. Welcome to the show, everybody. This is the Seth and Show on Sports Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio, backsportspage.com, without Seth Campbell. It's just Sean today. Yeah, it'll probably be a half-hour show, because I know you guys don't want to listen to me too much longer. More than a half-hour, anyway. And I probably will not be able to speak more than a half-hour. So we're going to go a half-hour, and then we'll see where we're at that point. So I played the Michigan fight song because I have a lot of friends that went to Michigan who thought that they were going to hear the fight song, which... So they thought that they were going to hear me. There were about, I don't know, 7 seconds left in the game. Harbaugh's team has the ball, fourth down. All they have to do is basically fall on the ball. And if you haven't seen it, man, I hope you go and look on YouTube, because this goes with a lot of the Bill Buckner plays, the Herman Edwards fumble, the Pasternak fumble, the Ernest Biner fumble, the Stanford band. This ranks right up there with all of those. So, Michigan's up. All they have to do is fall on the ball. They choose not to do that. They run the punt play. Bad snap. Guy doesn't fall on the ball. No, what does the punter do? He tries the lateral. The lateral gets caught by Michigan State. Michigan State scores a touchdown. And you can just imagine what happened to the Big House then. So, Jim Harbaugh, not the happiest of campers today. John Harbaugh, not the happiest of campers today. In coming off a loss in San Francisco yesterday to the 49ers. So the Harbaugh family, not exactly happy campers. So I tried to think of something that would turn today around. And what is it? What is it that perturbs me in sports? That's the way we're going to go with today. What are the things that really get my goat? We're going to list a couple of them, and I ask you to call in if you'd like, 760-283-0846, 760-283-0846. And why did this subject come up? Because I'm sure most of you listeners, just like myself, do their own laundry. Some of you farm it out, especially if you're in New York, but I tend to do my own. And one of the things that perturbs me the most, one of the things that gets my goat, is you bring down your laundry to the washer and dryer. You pack up your laundry in the laundry bag or in the hamper. You bring it down. You put it all in the laundry. You come back upstairs, or you come back into your own house. You open the door, and what is staring right in front of you? Piece of laundry that needed to go down there. And I don't know what you listeners have in your own laundry, but in my laundry, you can't unlock the washer once you lock it. So that piece of laundry, that piece of dirty clothing, goes right back into the hamper for the next time. So that's the thing that upsets me. That's how I got on this. So things that upset me in sports. Well, I think one of the things that really upsets me is I'm watching TV right now. Yes, it's Extra on Channel 4, and they're making a big deal of Lamar Odom. And the Kardashians are doing this. And look, tragedy. Tragedy that Lamar Odom did what he did. I get it. I completely get it. But the way that the media is portraying Lamar Odom, first of all, that he is a reality star. Lamar Odom was a NBA player first, an all-star, a world champion twice over. He's not a reality star. He's a former NBA all-star. But even more so, the plight of Lamar Odom is taking center stage over such things as what's happening to our veterans, what's happening in the world, poverty, and so on. And like I said before, an absolute tragedy what is happening to Lamar Odom. But front page news, round-the-clock coverage, hourly reports, I'm sorry, I just don't see it. We treat sports players as in some ways a form of hierarchy, a form of idolatry, and they're just not there. They're just not, and they shouldn't be. I am as big a sports fan as anybody, but it's not front page news when a sports hero does something that many, many people do all over the place. Okay, other things that annoy me in sports. Anybody that thanks God when they're in a press conference. Look, I believe in a God. You may or may not believe in a God. That's up to you. But do you say God gave me a bad day when you don't do well? Of course not. God didn't give me a bad day. God just, it just wasn't my time when you have a bad day. But thank God for a good day. Thank you, praise to God. I'm sorry, that doesn't resonate with me. It never has. It never will. I understand beliefs. I understand preaching beliefs if you believe in them. But I don't understand the thanking of God. Okay. Let's go on to another thing. Daniel Murphy, there is nothing you could do wrong right now. Nothing you could do wrong. As a Mets fan, you are doing absolutely everything I want. However, spouting your political beliefs, which you did in spring training, was wrong. Curt Schilling, spouting your political beliefs on the medium that you have. At least to me. You're not a politician. If you want to be a politician, please do that. But you are a sports figure, and you should be keeping those opinions, at least to me, those opinions to yourselves. Other things in sports I don't agree with. Well, let's start with the designated hitter and go from there. No, I don't like the DH. I think most people understand I don't like the DH. I'm a National League guy. I think Seth actually disagrees with me on this. He likes the designated hitter. He believes that it adds something to the game. I believe it takes away from the strategy of the game. My own belief.
Okay. Let's keep going. Football.
Well, I didn't like Chuck Pagano last night. For those that did not see the game, Chuck Pagano pulled a Jim Zorn, tried to put three guys, I believe it was three, it may have been four, on the line with a fourth and two in an effort to draw the Patriots off sides. Needless to say, he didn't do that. In fact, he got his own penalty, or the Colts got their own penalty, of illegal formation, and Chuck Pagano probably sealed his fate last night. He probably will not be back. What else don't I like? I don't like Matt Harvey right now. Look, he pitched a great game. And I know I'm jumping from sport to sport, and you'll have to bear with me at least for the next 19 minutes, because that's the way this is going to go. Because when you're all alone and you're talking for 30 straight minutes, it's rather difficult. I would love for people to call 760-283-0846. If you're listening on the podcast, next time I'm all alone, you know this is your venue. This is your way of speaking out, and your interest is my interest. So call on in, and we'll get you on the air. But anyway, what else don't I like? I don't like Matt Harvey. Look, Matt Harvey pitched a brilliant game in game one for the Mets. And look, I am as big a Mets fan as there is, and I am very happy with what the Mets are doing right now. M-E-T-S, Mets, Mets, Mets. The Mets, meet the Mets. Step right up and greet the Mets. Grab your kitties, grab your wife. Guaranteed you'll have the time of your life because the Mets are really sucking the ball, hitting those homers over the wall. East side, west side. I don't remember the rest of the song. But anyway, Mets are really kicking it right now into gear. They're up 2-0. And Matt Harvey pitched a brilliant game, as I said before. And in, I believe it was the 7th inning, he got hit in the shoulder region, the tricep region of his pitching shoulder. And today, Terry Collins had to answer questions of whether he is going to pitch Game 5. Hopefully the Mets won't even need Game 5. They're up 2-0. Maybe they'll sweep. They go back to Chicago tomorrow. Tonight is a day off, thankfully. And I say thankfully because I really don't like, well, I'll get to that next, what I don't like. But so he has to answer questions about pitching a Game 5, which may or may not occur. So Terry Collins says his tricep was inflamed, and he had some swelling in it, so he wasn't sure if he was going to go out in Game 5. So what happens is that Matt Harvey then goes out into the outfield and does his warm up, does his stretching and does some throwing, and pronounces himself fit right after Terry Collins said, "Well, let's wait and see." What I don't like is basically Matt Harvey throwing Terry Collins under the bus. What if Harvey tomorrow cannot pitch? What if he can't? What was the problem saying, let's wait and see one more day? You have a couple of days until Game 5 if necessary. And what do? You go against what the manager said. And you pronounce yourself fit. If tomorrow you wake up and there is a lot of swelling in your arm, well, then are you still fit? Probably not. That's a problem for me. Okay, so what else don't I like? And I was saying this before, it's about time that I have a break from watching baseball at 11 o'clock at night or 12 o'clock at night, because those that do know me know that I wake up early and I go to the gym in the morning, 6 a.m. generally. So the games have been starting at 8 p.m., 30 p.m., or 8:40 p.m. So there is no way baseball games are getting over before 11:30, 12 o'clock at night. I also know that one of my good friends, Mike Nitzke, has a son whose name is Shea, named after Shea Stadium. So he's a pretty big Mets fan, you would think, right? He's a good ball player on his own right. He pitches. He plays first. He plays third. He plays everywhere. Good hitter. Huge Mets fan. Huge. In fact, I went over to the Nitzkes. They were very accommodating on Friday to watch the final of the it was Thursday night to watch the Mets and Dodgers. They were very accommodating, hospitable, if you will. And in the fourth inning, because it was so late, Shea had to go to sleep. Look, I understand since it was in L.A., you might have to start at 8 because it's a 5 o'clock game. The last two nights, which were Saturday and Sunday night, why do you have to start a game at 8 o'clock at night? I just don't understand it. Especially since if there is a Game 6 for the Mets, it's Saturday at 3:30. this upcoming Saturday. So they already have a concept of starting a game earlier in the day where it's not freezing, because last night I think game time temperature was 41 degrees, not freezing. And so kids can stay up and watch the entirety of the game. I have a really, really hard time with this concept. I grew up, when I was a kid, I remember going to Hebrew school when the Astros and Mets were in game 6 of their playoffs. I remember I walked into Hebrew school, which was, I think started at 4 o'clock, and they were in the second inning. And I came out, and they were in the ninth inning two and a half hours later. Then I went to my grandparents, and we watched the rest of the game. The game ended by 9 o'clock, 8:30, 9 o'clock. Didn't start at 8:30, 9 o'clock. And to me, that is a big problem with Major League Baseball. You want more fans? You want to be the national pastime? You don't want football to take over for what you are missing or what you want? Start the games earlier, my friends, because you are ruining an entire generation of baseball fans who can't see a game. Look, I am very happy that the weekday baseball games in the next 3 days are all at night in Chicago, because that means that they are night here. So it's an 8 o'clock start here, 7 o'clock start there. So I don't have to miss work. I can go after work. But an 8 o'clock start on the East Coast means no kid under age 12 or 13 will probably see the end of the game. And for a kid that saw the 1986 World Series when I was 10 years old and stayed up that night, that was a late game. I believe that ended at like midnight, game 6 of the 1986 World Series, and was running around my house. I remember exactly where I was that night. You are losing out a major group of fans, or potential fans, if nothing else. And to me, that is a huge problem with baseball. And I'd love to get Seth's take on it, and next week maybe we'll talk about this a little bit more. But to Major League Baseball, you want more fans, you want younger fans, you want people to appreciate the history of it. You have to start the games earlier, my friends. Rob Manfred, that should be something you are working on, getting those games earlier. It's a big problem. Because at least with football, which is you start at 1, you do have a Monday night game, which tonight will be the Giants versus the Eagles. We'll get to that in a second. But you do have games all day Sunday. So don't tell me children or kids are not watching some NFL games. I certainly was as a child. So other things I don't like in sports. I've kind of come around on the instant replay. I have to say, I didn't think I would like it in baseball. It's corrected a lot that has been wrong. In football, I think it actually does a better job in baseball than it does in football. Because football, as we saw yesterday, as we saw last week, as we saw 2 weeks ago with the Lions and the Lions and the Seahawks, even with replay, the NFL is not getting calls correct. That's a problem in its own right. Baseball, you know what? The first inning of last night's game does not take place without instant replay and Curtis Granderson being called safe. So, not that it's only benefited my team, it's benefited the game. I think I've come around to it. I still don't like the fact that it takes 90 seconds to 2 minutes to 5 minutes to figure out the right call, but I do like the fact that you're getting the calls right. And to me, that is extraordinarily important to do in any sport, baseball, football, basketball, hockey. Oh, I forgot something I really don't like. Let's talk about this. The Barclays Center. My Lord. We talked about this a little bit last week. We got about 10 minutes to go on the show. If you'd like to call in 760-283-0846, 760-283-0846. Talked about this a little last week. The Barclays Center is horrendous. The crowds that they are getting, 10, 11, 12,000, are less than they were getting at the Nassau Coliseum. And to me, that's just pathetic. You move so you would get better crowds, but you move to an absolutely horrific stadium where the seat, where the sight lines are awful. The seats, yeah, they're nice, but they're not seats for a game. They're seats for a concert. My friend Mike Glazer pointed out the other day, this arena was built for concerts. Well, it was. It's not built for games. It's not built for the Islanders. It's not built for the Nets, even though they both play there. It's not a sporting arena. It's a concert venue. Again, if you'd like to chime in, 760-283-0846. We're going to talk about other things that Sean doesn't like about sports for about 5 more minutes. Then I'll give you a preview of the Giants game tonight, and we'll go from there. Other things I don't like. The Seattle Seahawks, just not putting up with it this year. Cam Chancellor, good. Jimmy Graham back, perhaps, at least on a fantasy basis. But the team itself, not doing well. Can't find an identity. Marshawn Lynch will be out of there next year. Out. And we'll see who comes in. I don't like that Antonio Brown is sucking. And he's only sucking because there's no Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, let's put this bluntly. Pittsburgh is a much better team with Roethlisberger, right? They're a much better team with Landry Jones. Michael Vick got hurt yesterday. He's not going to be back at least for a couple of weeks. We'll see if Landry Jones picks up the pace just like he did last week, yesterday. We'll see if this team is rocking a little bit. But welcome back to Marcus Wheaton, who had a great game yesterday. Okay. I don't like anybody in the NFC East. Not because I personally don't like them. I don't like any of their teams. Because today, if the Giants lose today, let's say the Giants lose, I think you have a 3-way tie. I'm going to figure this out. Hold on one second. So if the Giants lose today, they will be 3-3. The Eagles will be 3-3 atop the NFC East. With the Cowboys at 2-3, they had a bye this week, and the Redskins at 2-4, which just means all these teams are absolutely horrendous. None of them are going to break out. None of them are going to have great years. And the Eagles have a legitimate shot of winning this division. And they're 3-3 right now. Not even legitimate, likely to win the division. And they're 3-3. And Chip Kelly may say he's staying with Philadelphia, but who knows? He may be gone sooner or later. I think we heard this before from one Nick Saban. Okay, 5 minutes ago. So who do I like tonight? Well, in my heart, I like the Giants. I believe they are playing in Philadelphia. And I'd like the Giants to win. Even more so, I'd like the Giants to win and to stop DeMarco Murray, because I am up by 12.5 points in one fantasy league. I did go 3-1 this week. But if DeMarco Murray has more than 13 points, I lose. But my 5-0 team will lose to the 0-5 team of Scott Mauke. And while I do love Scott, I love Scott like a brother, I would prefer not losing to his team. Who do I think is going to win? I think Philadelphia will probably win at home. And I think DeMarco Murray will have more than 13 points, unfortunately. And that's not good for us. Or that's not good for me, anyway. The Seth and Sean Sports Radio Show fantasy team. We took a gamble this week, just for an update on this. We took a gamble this week and actually played one man down. We did not pick up enough defensive players. So we played a man down against the Latimer first defense, a 3-2 team. And we won by 20. That's how good this team is. Devontae Freeman has been unbelievable for our team. Great pickup. This week, Greg Olsen had 28 points. John Brown had 30 points. I'm not liking the fact that because it's Landry Jones and Michael Vick, our tandem, and Seth said this best a couple of weeks ago, he feared that our tandem of Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell were not going to get the stats. And he's right. Le'Veon Bell had 88 yards. Antonio Brown had 24 yards. I think he had a couple of receptions, but 24 yards, not what we were looking for from our keeper. Three catches and 24 for 5 points. Le'Veon Bell with 8 points. We were definitely propped up by Devontae Freeman with 37 and Emmanuel Sanders with 23. But Emmanuel Sanders, thankfully, next week Denver has a bye week, because if he didn't, he has a I think he has a sprained DC joint, AC joint in his shoulder. Who knows how that's going to affect him in the upcoming weeks. We definitely wish him well, because we definitely need him on our team. So we have about 3 minutes left in the half-hour show. Wanted to thank you all for joining us. It's very difficult to talk for a half-hour straight. I commend you for listening to me for a half-hour straight. The Mets, I'm going to give a little prediction here, since we didn't have the predictions last week because we didn't know the Mets were going to be in it. I believe the Mets are going to win this series. I think they will win in 6 games. Lucky for the Mets, they actually face Kyle Hendricks next, and then Jason Hamill, and then they come back with Lester. So if we win in 6, it'll be against Arrieta in Citi Field. I hope that they do win in Citi Field. I hope I'm there. But I think that they will win in 6 or less, and they will face off against the Kansas City Royals. I did pick Toronto at the beginning. Kansas City just looks too good. They are playing tonight. That series, I believe, is 2-0. No, I'm sorry. The Royals are up 2-0. Johnny Cueto, the staff ace, supposedly, is up tonight. And we will see what happens there. So, I got the Mets, and then it'll be the Royals, which will be a very interesting series. The defense of the Royals versus the power pitching of the Mets, the speed in Kauffman Stadium. Look, the Mets power pitchers, I do love watching power pitcher after power pitcher after power pitcher. Pitching wins. Pitching absolutely wins in Major League Baseball playoffs, and we're there proving it today. So, for Seth Kamens, who is not here, who will be back next week, and this is a little trade-off because the weeks of November 18th and November 25th, I will not be here. I will be in Australia and New Zealand. So, Seth and Keegan Reed, I believe, will be hosting one show, and hopefully, maybe Nabate Owls will be hosting the other show. So, for Seth Kamens, who is not here, this is Sean Palmer, Seth and Sean Sports Radio for BackSportsPage.com. In the next week or two, we will be having our NBA preview, because that absolutely needs to be done, and our college basketball preview as well. So we'll catch you all on the flip side next week. Have a great week, and let's go Mets! Let's go Mets! Let's go Mets! Let's go Mets!